Let us agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your Spirit that you've so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We do ask and receive this evening that our hearts are receptive to receive the truth of your word. There is no confusion as the word is taught. There is no confusion as the word is taught. Truth of God's word is taught with accuracy, with precision. And at the end of today's meeting as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Praise God. Yeah, if you would turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We're just continuing along the line in which we started a few months back, late last year. And we're dealing with the topic generosity, God's divine plan. We're trying to examine God's word on generosity. Yeah, so we've been able to lay some fundamental facts about our Christian faith in the last hours and hours and hours and hours of teaching. And we trust that this evening we will do justice to a couple of scriptures also. Yeah, so turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. You know, Paul writing to the church in Corinth, he says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." Yeah, we do you to wit of the grace. So Paul is writing concerning the grace of God. So it means that what Paul is about to write about has to do with the grace of God. Yeah, he now says that we are writing to you concerning the grace of God on the churches of Macedonia. Churches of Macedonia, not one church, churches. Verse 2, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty, yeah, abounded unto the riches of their liberality. So, four facts in verse 2, great trial of affliction, abundance of joy, deep poverty, riches of liberality. So these four factors or these four points were found amongst or in the church or within the churches of Macedonia. Yeah, how that in the great trial of affliction, yeah, the abundance of their joy, their deep poverty, and riches of liberality. So the great trial of affliction, the abundance of joy, the deep poverty, the riches of liberality, all found within them, or they were all experiencing things or things related to this. So one thing again we always put our attention to in this particular verse is that what? And their deep poverty. And like I would always say, you know already that I would say that that word there, deep, before poverty, is not a figure of speech. Yeah, the word there, deep, actually speaks about the extent of poverty. So it means that churches could be in deep poverty, yet there's the grace of God upon their life. Yeah, so Paul is writing to let us know that we don't know the grace of God upon a man's life by riches. Else, we will not be able to explain the churches of Macedonia to be people who have the grace of God. You see, if we use the lens in which we understand or explain the grace of God in our day and time today to visit the churches of Macedonia, we will be right to say that there was no grace of God on their lives. Why? Because they were going through affliction, yeah, and they were in deep poverty. Yeah, but Paul is writing about the grace of God upon the churches of Macedonia, and he mentions that what? They are in deep poverty. Poverty is not escaped because you are amongst the churches or among the church, the body of Christ. Yeah, poverty is not escaped by prayer. Yeah, you don't escape poverty by prayer. Yeah, you don't escape poverty by sitting. You don't escape poverty by giving. Yeah, what is Paul trying to make us understand in this verse? He says what? The grace of God and their life. How that they are bounded unto the riches of their liberality. So there's riches of liberality found in all the saints. What did Paul call it in verse 1? He says the grace of God. The grace of God. So the grace of God is seen in them abounding unto the riches of liberality. Yeah, look at what he says in verse 9. He says, for ye know the grace of God. Yeah, the real says the grace of God. Yeah, which is the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Yeah, so Jesus became poor so that I can be rich. Yeah, Jesus became poor so that you can be rich. Yeah, so Jesus became poor so that we all as saints can be rich. What riches is the riches that Jesus gives to us because of his poverty? It is the riches of liberality, which is what he called the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, look at it again. He says, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. Yeah, there is no Bible verse in the entire world that shows that Jesus was materially wealthy. Yeah, there is no Bible verse in the entire world that shows that when Jesus was approaching the cross, he did give away with his properties. No. Why don't we have things like that? He wasn't wealthy on earth. Yeah, so we see that there is nothing like because we are in Christ, we will be wealthy. It is a false teaching. It's a wrong teaching not taught by any of the apostles, including Jesus. So what is his riches? In the fact that he was God, yet he became flesh. Yeah, he put on sin so that you might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Yeah, that is the riches we have received. What did Paul call it in verse 2? He says the riches of their liberality, yet in deep poverty. Yet he attributed a particular riches to them. Look at chapter 9, verse 10. It says, now he that ministereth seed to the sower. Yeah, we've done hours of teaching to explain what seed to the sower mean. Yeah, the seed of Genesis 3, the seed of Abraham, the seed of David. They are all equal to the bread of life, the bread of heaven, the bread of God, figurative for the bread that they ate in the wilderness in Exodus. So the seed is equal to the bread, which is what the riches of liberality we've received. Yeah, which is equal to the grace of God we receive, which is really what? The supply of the Spirit. Yeah, so we see that what Paul is trying to teach is that as a saint, there is no particular saint or there is no one that is born of God that lacks the ability to give. Yeah, the difference between so many saints in our day and time is that majority of us give as a means to an end and not as an end in itself. What do I mean? Yeah, you want to build a house. Yeah, because you want to build a house, that is your goal. Yeah, you package money and go and give it as a seed to God so that God can make... No. That is not taught in scriptures. The seed that we have received is the seed of his person. Yeah, the seed of Jesus Christ. On Sunday, we started along a line. We started along something very interesting. Tell me the First Peter. Look at First Peter. First Peter chapter 5. On Sunday, we started along this line, and we know it's been a very interesting conversation. 1 Peter chapter 5, or chapter 5, verse 1. See what it says? It says, the elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder. So Peter refers to himself as an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. What is he saying in verse 2? Feed the flock. So who is he exhorting in verse 1? The elders. What is the content of his exhortation? Feed the flock of God, which is among you. So it means that among saints, we have what? Those who are called elders. Yeah. So everybody who is born of the Spirit is among the flock of God. But not everybody is an elder. Yeah. Paul is admonishing the elders amongst the saints. So they are elders amongst the saints. They are saints. They are elders amongst the saints. What is the responsibility of the elders in verse 2? They are to feed the flock. They are to feed the flock. If I hold your hands, how do Peter know they should do that? Look at John. Hold your hands in 1 Peter and go to John chapter 21. John chapter 21 verse 15. Look at John 21 verse 15. Just hold your hands in 1 Peter 5. Let's see something in John chapter 21. You see, look at John 21, verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus said unto Simon Peter, Simon Barjona, lovest thou me more than this? He said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my lambs. Yeah, feed my lamb. Yeah, look at verse 16. He said unto him, again the second time, Simon Barjona, lovest thou me? He said unto him, yes, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. In verse 17, who is the person that Jesus is speaking to? Peter. Who denied Jesus three times? Peter. Who denied Jesus three times? Peter. Who did Jesus give the responsibility to feed Jesus' sheep? It is the same Peter. So we see that God uses imperfect men for his perfect will. We saw that on Sunday. Yeah, I'll say that again. God uses imperfect men for his perfect will. So you might be a man or you are a man on earth. You might be looking for that most or the most perfect man on earth to be your pastor. In the real sense, you might not find. Yeah, we see an example of Peter who denied Jesus three times. Yeah, what did Jesus say unto him? Yeah, if you love me, feed my lamb. If you love me, look at the third time, verse 17. It says, he said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. So how do you suppose that Peter knew what to say to the elders in 1 Peter chapter 5? It is from John chapter 21, the encounter in verse 15 to 17. So your hand is still in 1 Peter. Go back to 1 Peter 5. Look at 1 Peter 5. Look at first. So Peter became an elder that was to do a responsibility of feeding God's lamp. Yeah, look at verse 2. Now, what did Jesus say to Peter? If you love me, who is writing 1 Peter 5? Peter. He says, if you love me, feed my sheep, feed my flock, feed my lamb. Look at verse 2. Feed the flock of God which is among you. Yeah, Jesus, Peter does not say feed your flock. Yeah, he says feed the flock of God which is among you. Taking the oversight, that's really what it means. Taking the oversight thereof. Not by constraint, but willingly. Not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Look at verse 3. Neither as being lords over God's heritage. Yeah? So, the instruction to the elder is there to feed the flock and not be lords over God's heritage. So, Peter doesn't say your heritage because you're the pastor. No, he says, neither as being lords over God's heritage. So, God's heritage is the constituency or the combination of people who have believed the gospel. Amongst these God's heritage, there are men who are elders. Yeah, he now says, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being an example to the flock. So there are certain things that you rather lead as an example than just instruct. Yeah, there are certain things you just give as an example than just command. Certain things, and they say all things. So neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. Look at what it says in verse 4. And when the chief shepherd, so if you are a shepherd feeding God's sheep, there's a chief shepherd. So, when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fade another way. So, it means that God's gift to men are men. So, amongst God's heritage, there are some men who are considered to be ministry gifts. We saw that on Sunday. Yeah. So, God's plan for making men saved is for men to teach other men. Look at 2 Timothy, the same Paul. 2 Timothy 2:2. Look at verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me amongst many witnesses, the same. Paul writes to Timothy, a bishop, a pastor, yeah, a pastor. Paul writes to an elder, yeah, Paul an elder writes to another elder. He says what? The things you as an elder, the things you've heard from me as an elder, amongst many other elders, yeah, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. So, we see that God's plan for bringing men into his great love in Christ Jesus is through men. It is through men. So, what are we looking at in this particular series? We are trying to explain what is the slant of a man who is part of God's heritage. Yeah? And also, there's a slant we are to have to God's men. That's what we're looking at on Sunday. Yeah? So, Jesus spoke to men, for men to speak to men, so that those men can speak to other men. Men will be used to bring God's will on earth into reality. Are we together? It is men that God will use to bring his will here into earth. So let's take a little example as we looked at on Sunday of a few men. Look at Acts 20. Acts chapter 20, verse 33. Acts 20, verse 33. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. Look at verse 35. I have showed you all these things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Remember, Paul did not meet Jesus physically. Here, there is no portion of scripture that shows that the Lord Jesus Christ said, it is more blessed to give than receive. But what is Paul doing? Paul is summarizing Jesus' teaching on giving as, it is blessed to give than to receive. Yet the word there, blessed, is not saying the more you give, the more you get more money. No, it's not true. You see, there's a statement people always say, givers never lack. It's not true. Yeah, givers never lack is not an absolute statement. Yeah, in fact, a lot of people who give lack. Yeah, so when it says it is more blessed to give than to, it's not saying that you hear people teach something. So really, it is just fortunate are you to give than receive. Yeah, it is more fortunate to give than to receive. It is more fortunate to give than receive. What is Paul teaching? Look at verse 3. He says, I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Let me ask a question. Did Paul need silver, gold, and apparel? Yes, he did. He was a man. Yeah. What did he say about people's golds and silvers and apparel? I have coveted no one's. Yeah? What did he say he did? Look at it. He says, you know, ye know, that I have used my hands to minister unto my necessities, and to them that were with me. Look at verse 35. I have showed you all things. You see, that word there, show, we looked at it on Sunday, is a word that means to put something, to make something evident for the people to learn from. Yeah, the word there, show, it means to put something forth in the front, or put something forth for people to see and learn from. So what is Paul speaking about? He's speaking about a skilled labor. How do we know? I have showed you all things, how that so laboring, ye ought to support the weak. How did he labor? He told us in verse 34, ye or yourselves know that my hands have ministered. Yeah, when you say my hands have ministered, he's not talking of laying on of hands. He's talking about hard labor. So Paul worked as a skilled man in the marketplace. So, by walking, Paul is saying, he's showing an example. Look at it. Remember I said something. The word there, show, means to put something evidently in front of people for them to learn from. So, I have shown you, it means that I have done this laboring with my hands as an example for you to learn from. What did Peter say about an elder? An elder is one who feeds the flock and gives an example. Yeah, in feeding the flock, you are supplying an oversight. Yeah, really. And in the real sense, you are giving an example, not lording over God's heritage. So what did Paul do? Paul gave an example that everybody could testify. That's why Paul says, ye yourselves, you know. So Paul expected that they learn from him and take skilled labor as an example. Say that again. Yeah. Paul, in demonstrating skilled labor, using his hand to meet his necessity or his needs, in as much as he needed silver, gold, and apparel, is an example that they should look at and learn from. What did he say? He said, I have labored with my hands to minister unto my necessities and to those that were with me. So, Paul is teaching that you can use your own hands, your own income, to meet your needs and support the needs of others. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? So Paul used that to teach meeting needs of others and showing an example to ministers. We emphasized on that on Sunday. Yeah, in Paul laboring with his hand, he used that as an example to teach, or to teach, to give an example for them to learn from, and to teach that what ministers should labor with their hands to meet their needs, their necessities, and what to make sure that they support them that are with them. Now, can you be a minister and lack? Yes, 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 and yes, and yes. What is Paul teaching here about meeting your needs? Yeah, Paul is teaching. See, there's a portion of scripture where Paul said, my God shall supply your needs. But what is Paul teaching in Acts 20? It is that what? He used his hands to minister to his necessities. Hallelujah. So Paul is showing that he obtained those things in a legitimate way. In the real sense, he did not covet that which belongs to the saints. So, Paul's conduct of going to the marketplace is an instruction for us as saints to follow. How do we know? He told us in verse 35, I have showed you. That's instructive. So, a minister should be one who, now see, look at it. Who wrote 70% of the New Testament books? It is Paul, Philippians, Colossians, yeah, Ephesians, Galatians, Corinthians, Romans, Thessalonians, Timothy, Titus, Philemon, you know. So, if you look at it in real sense, more than 60% of the New Testament books were written by Paul. Who was Paul? Paul was one who labored with his hands to meet his necessities and those that were with him. You see? So, in the real sense, Paul was a full-time minister who gave himself to the marketplace. Why did Paul do this? He used this to show an example to the saints, to the ministers. So, the minister should be one who, in as much as there's a place for meeting the needs of saints, the minister should be one who should be an additional person to meet the needs of saints. Yeah, if you look at all these instructions that speaks about riches of liberality, even the ministers of the gospel have riches of liberality. So, pastors, apostles, anybody, yeah, riches of liberality. So, even as pastors, as ministers, yeah, there is something called what? Abounding to the riches of liberality. What did Paul say? Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. He didn't say that to only saints. He didn't say that to only pastors, sorry. He said that to saints. Hallelujah. Now, we've established this on Sunday, that Paul gave an example as to how a man, he said, I showed you for this thing as an example. But from this, we are trying to examine the angle of saints knowing how to give to their ministers. Yet, and we established on Sunday that giving to your minister should be out of honor. not to see your elders as a liability. So Paul is teaching as an elder, you must not be a liability on the saints. Paul is teaching the saints also, as a saint, you must be able to give in honor to your leaders. Yeah, so in recent, look at it, in verse 33, how do you think Paul would have coveted people's gold, silver, and apparel? It is when he begins to minister and is always anticipating that people should drop something for him when he ministers. You see, there's a difference. Yeah, you can be a minister going for a ministration and you don't expect, or you are not looking, you are not anticipating. You see, let me know what people will package for me. I want to see how big I am in their hearts. Yeah, you can go to a ministration like that. You can also go to a ministration having the gospel in your heart, in your mind. Yeah, and when you are done, the people decide to contribute things together and give to you as a minister. How do you suppose Paul is saying that as a minister, you should meet your needs? Yeah, you labor with your hands. You labor with your hands. What was Paul's work? Look at Acts 18. Look at Acts chapter 18, verse 1. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. What did he do in verse 2? And found a certain man, a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy, with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and come unto them. Verse 3, and because he was of the same craft, who was on the same craft? Paul was on the same craft with the Jewish man he met, Aquila and Priscilla. Yeah, he was of the same craft, he abode with them. You know, we saw on Sunday, there's no scripture that shows that Paul was a lawyer. Yeah, and because he was of the same craft, he abode with them. So, one of the criteria of Paul abiding, really, with people, or with Aquila and Priscilla, was what they were of the same craft. What did he now do? And he wrought for their occupation, they were tent makers. So, Paul was a tent maker, yeah? Paul was a tent maker. He was deliberate about his choice of host in Corinth. Look at it, verse 1. Yeah, he departed from Athens and came to Corinth, and he met Aquila and Priscilla. In the real sense, he realized that they were of the same craft. So Paul traveled to Corinth, having in mind how he will meet his needs. Look at it. If Paul was a minister that went to Corinth without having in mind how to meet his needs, he would not have found, or he would not have paid attention to the craft of Aquila and Priscilla. All together. Look at 24. Acts 18:24. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, being fervent in the Spirit. He spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla had heard him, so they heard Apollos talk, and they took him unto themselves, and they expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. So Aquila and Priscilla, tent makers, took to themselves Apollos to explain God's word. So it means that tent making did not hinder their ministry. Are we together? Aquila and his wife, they were tent makers. They expounded God's word unto Apollos. So there was an example that ministers are to keep a trade aside ministering as a minister of the gospel. I'll say it better. As a minister of the gospel, yeah, what is Paul teaching? What are we learning from Aquila and Priscilla? There is such a thing as a means of income outside the pulpit. There's such a thing as a means of income outside ministry. Are we together? Look at 1 Timothy. Look at 1 Timothy 5. 1 Timothy 5:17. So, we've seen that Paul gave an example of how the saint or how the minister is to labor. Now, see, we're going to see more examples in this teaching and subsequent teachings. Now, see something very important. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. Look at the same Paul. See what it says. Let the elder that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. Yeah, that word there, counted worthy, means to see as befitting or to deem worthy or to deem deserving. Yeah, let the elders that rule over, that rule well, yeah, the word they rule, we actually mean to take care of, or that provide care. What did Peter call it? Feed the flock. That is what Peter in his letter, he said, feed the flock. Yeah, taking oversight of them. Yeah, what did Timothy call it what did Paul call it to Timothy? He said what? Let the elders that rule well be counted, be deemed as defeating. Or as befitting rather, to deem worthy, that's the word, they're counted worthy of double honor. What does double honor mean? It means that you give more honor to that person who rules or who labors over you more than the honor you give to any other relationship. That's what Paul is teaching. Yeah, double honor means to give more than you will give in any other context of honor taught in the world. Now, Paul taught about honoring your parents in Ephesians 6 verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, honor your father and your mother. Yeah, that is honor. What did Paul say about the elders that rule, yeah, that feed the flock? He says they should be counted worthy of double honor. He says, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. Are we together? Yeah, yeah. So Paul was teaching it. So when Paul was writing Ephesians, children obey your parents in the Lord, really he was teaching from Moses. Yeah, honor your parents. Yet the same Paul now taught about how the minister is worthy of double honor. So in a local church setting, you give to the minister who labors over you. It is in scriptures. 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 17. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. That means you see them as befitting of double honor. So the honor, I've said again, the honor that you will give to any other relationship context that is taught in the Bible, to that man who labors over you in word and in doctrine, he should be counted worthy of double honor. More than what you will give any other relationship in any other context of honor taught in the Bible, to that man who labors in the word, to those men who are elders that rule well, that labor in word and doctrine. What did Paul say? They should be counted worthy of double honor. So giving to a minister is honoring God by honoring the minister who has shown care. Brother, how did he show care? He showed care by what? Feeding the flock. What is feeding the flock in 1 Timothy 5:17? Laboring in the word and doctrine to teach. So giving to a minister is a practice of honor. It is not desired with the aim of getting richer. Let me say it again. You don't give a minister with the aim of getting richer. You know, I saw someone say something recently. He said, you know, that when you give to your pastor and you provoke him and he prophesies over your life. In the real sense, you know, I said on Sunday, sometimes when we say some things, we don't know what we're saying. If as a pastor, I come to church on Sunday and I say, guess what? Sister Esther gave me 1 million naira on Monday. And I looked at her and I said, before Friday ends, that thing you've waited for 10 years will automatically come to pass. Go and mark it down. Yeah, and I come to church on Sunday and I'm saying that. Yeah, and I told you, I said, Brasu for me now came on Tuesday evening before the night. And some God said, oh, someone's going to come. Yeah, and he came and he gave me 2 million naira. Yeah, and I said, before Wednesday, I give you 24 hours. Yeah, in the recess, 2 million naira is more than 1 million. So you have to increase you know, the rate at which he provoked you. Yeah, so look at it. So you now say, brother, in 24 hours. Now, can a pastor prophesy over your life and tell you that in 24 hours something will happen? Yes, 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 and yes. But in the real sense, what provokes that prophecy? It is more in the real sense. Me coming to say that on Sunday is to teach the saints that seed sowing is a principle. So even though I come every Sunday and shout that seed sowing doesn't work, for me to, I'm subconsciously speaking to your I might be intentional. It depends. I might be subconscious or consciously speaking to your conscious or your subconscious that seed sowing is a practice. What am I saying? Somebody gave on Monday and got testimony on Wednesday. Someone gave on Tuesday and got testimony on Wednesday. What am I saying to you in essence? If you have something, a challenge you are facing, come and sow a seed. Yeah, what did Paul say? That is a way Paul was saying, I have coveted no man's silver. Are we together? Are we together? Yeah, so double honor, like I said on Sunday, double honor is not something demanded or charged by the minister, but it's something known by the saints. So that again. Yeah, the Bible teaches that what? Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. Yeah, in the real sense, the elder that rule should not what? Command it. In the real sense, what I mean? Should not, what do I really mean? I will not say that because you don't give me money before Friday, I will not teach you on Sunday. Yeah? So it's not something I will charge you for every word I say. For every word I say, if you have any service, every word I say is 100 naira. Yeah? If I do tongue interpretation, it's 1,000 naira per tongue. Yeah, how do you calculate tongue? It's per syllable. Yeah, when you combine it, even though I will not come next Sunday. Yeah, no. The saints are to know that man who labors in word and doctrine, yeah, is to be counted worthy of double honor. If I look at Galatians 6, of double honor. Galatians 6 verse 6. Look at Galatians 6 verse 6. It makes it clearer here again. It makes it clearer. You know, see, in the narrative of trying to teach, you know, a lot of people, with the anger they have concerning what people have bastardized about giving, they need to say things like, don't give to pastor, don't give to the church. A saint who doesn't give to his pastor is in outright disobedience to scriptures. Yeah, it is clearly written in scriptures. It says, let the elders who rule, let them be counted worthy of double honor. Look at Galatians 6:6. Yeah? So the pastor is not to be one who will be coveting people's silver. What does that mean? You come to a pastor for counseling, and it's, as you are going, he said, you know, this is pastor that I'm interested. Yeah? You know, some pastors sometimes, when you reach out to them for counseling, before you leave, they say, oh, I like your wristwatch. In the real sense, there are some consciously persuading you to drop the wristwatch. I didn't say all, some just like it in the real sense. But really, see, it will be hard for, let me just hold on, say Galatians 6:6. It says, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. The word they communicate is going from that word koinonia, you know. And we said on Sunday that it is to make oneself a partner with another. To partner with. You see, Paul is writing to Galatians. Yeah, Galatians is not a book to the ministers. Yeah, to a minister. It is to a church, a local church. It is written to the saints. So in honor to God, or in honor of God and his plan, we see our giving as partnership with God in his ministers. See it again. Romans and Galatians 6:6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Yeah. So honoring God, honoring his plan is where we see ourselves. That word communicate means to be in partnership. So as saints who receive the word frequently, we are seeing that we are to be in partnership with that man or those men who labor over us in word and doctrine. Hallelujah. So the apostle's response to receiving the riches of God's word is not emoji, you know, oh my goodness, there is a place for that. Emoji, you did well. Wow, what a blessing you are. Yeah, you know, let's put our hands to, yeah. So when you say, oh, virtue, it's not just ending at virtue. No, it is that you are to abound to the riches of liberality after hearing the riches of God's word to communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. All together. So we see Corinthians, go back to Corinthians, chapter 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Look at verse 2. In fact, hold your hands in 2 Corinthians. Go to Acts 16:12. Look at what Acts 16:12 says. He says, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of the part of Macedonia. So Philippi is the chief city of the part of Macedonia and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. So Philippi is the chief city of Macedonia. Go back to 2 Corinthians 8 quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 1. So, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, into bracket, Philippi being the chief city. Did you get that? I just infused Acts chapter 16, verse 12, into 2 Corinthians 8. Luke tells us in Acts chapter 16 that Philippi is the chief city of Macedonia. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 8 that the grace of God bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia. So it means that Paul is speaking about the Philippians also. So, when it says, how that in a great trial of affliction, yeah, they were in deep poverty, they abounded unto the riches of liberality. Look at verse 4. They were praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. So, the minister is to know not to use tactics to get partners. The saints are to know that they are to be partners with God in his ministers. Yeah, there are two different things. Yeah, there's a difference between one coming out to look for partners, seek for partners. No, the pastor is to teach how the saints are to know that they are to be partners. Yeah, you see people ask questions, you know, so many questions. Pastor, what is too much to give as a saint? Yeah, what is too much? What does scripture give? Look at it. If you look at chapter 9, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, what percentage should we give as saints? Yeah, since people are talking about tithing, what percentage should we give by saying, look at verse 7 of chapter 9. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart. So let him give, not grudgingly of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. That is the percentage we should give. Every man according as he purposeth. When he got to chapter 16 of 1 Corinthians, he says, as you prosper. Yeah, so the workman is not one who will be charging for his salary. Yeah, you see, partnership is not salary, it is honor. Partnership is partnering with God and his plan to bring his will to pass in the ministers. Yeah, remember, among saints, there will be ministers that are elders. Not everybody will be elders. There's amongst, look at it, remember first Peter where we started from. Not everybody will be elders. There will be those who are elders amongst God's flock. There will be those who are elders amongst God's heritage. So in receiving the ministry of your pastor or that man who labors over you in word and doctrine, you are to give. Yeah, what did he say in verse 7? According as you propose in your heart, let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Glory to God. Look at 1 Corinthians 9 quickly. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 14. Okay? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 14. St. Paul, see what Paul said. The same Paul who taught how to use your hand. Look at 1 Corinthians 4 first. Look at 1 Corinthians 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9. For I think that God had set forth us, the apostles, last, as it were appointed to death, for we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. Verse 10. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. Verse 11. Even unto this present hour, that is now, even up until now, when this letter is written, we even both hunger and we thirst and are naked. Yeah, it doesn't mean that Paul was not wearing clothes. You saw that on Sunday. And are naked really means what? It really means that they did not have sufficient clothes. And are buffeted and have no certain dwelling place. Can we say accommodation problem? So you must have read chapter 4, verse 9, 10, 11, where Paul says what? That what? For Christ's sake. We are both hunger, both thirsty, both naked. He now says in verse 12, and laboring, working with our own hands. So even though they were thirsty, not having sufficient food, not having sufficient apparel, not having a good place to dwell, they still continue laboring. Why do you suppose that? Paul was giving an instructive example to the ministers and the saints. So, and laboring, working with our own hands, being reviled, we're blessed, being persecuted, we suffer it. So you must have read 1 Corinthians chapter 4 before you get to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Look at chapter 9 verse 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 14. See what it says there. He says, even so had the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. Yeah, so it is a command to the recipient of the ministry. What do I mean? The saint who receive, let him who is well taught in the word communicate with him who teacheth, yeah, in all good things. The saint is to know that what? Look at verse 13 again. Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. Yeah, what is Paul doing? Paul is making a case for ministers. What is he doing? Where do you think Paul is teaching from? He's teaching from the example of the Levites who initiated that. Moses. So Paul is teaching from Moses. So Paul was saying that what the way that Moses initiated that what they were obligated to support the lives of the priest is the same way a minister of the gospel should live of the gospel. See, the word here ordained, the Lord ordained, is the word that means authorized. So what is Paul doing? He's equating the Levite as touching support with the present day minister. Remember, Deuteronomy 26, yeah, they were to give, the tithe was for the Levite, the strangers, those that did not have. Yeah, what is this teaching about? Paul is equating the Levites of Moses' time. What? It means that what Paul is saying is that we can sustain a Levitical order, yeah, which is honoring God by giving to the minister. So we see an example of men. Look at Philippians 4. Look at verse 14. Notwithstanding, ye have done well that ye did communicate with my affliction. What does that mean? They gave to Paul material things. Look at verse 15. Now ye Philippians know that in the beginning of the gospel, which I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. What is he saying? It's the same thing he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. It means that the Philippian churches were the ones that abounded the most to the riches of liberality in them. Remember, Acts 16:12 shows us that the Philippians or Philippi was the chief city in Macedonia. What did he say in 2 Corinthians chapter 8? Macedonia, they were in deep poverty. So Philippians were in deep poverty. Yet, so when Paul was saying the churches of the grace of God on the churches of the Macedonia, in the real sense, an example would be the Philippians. Yeah, so no other church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving. Yeah, giving and receiving means that they did the giving, Paul did the receiving. Hallelujah. So it means that Paul, that showed an example of how the minister should labor with his hand, still did or still spoke about the giving of the saints. How are we together? Remember, in Philippians, at this time when Paul was writing this, he was in the prison. So he couldn't do the normal tent making he was doing. What did he now say in verse 13? My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. In the real sense, the Philippians supplied, let me say it this way, God supplied the necessity of Paul in the prison. How did God do that? By the churches of Macedonia abounding to the riches of the brethren in them. In the real sense, what did they do? They abounded to the riches of glory or in glory or riches in glory of God by Christ Jesus. So when Paul now says, so what did they give Paul? In the prison, they didn't give God, they didn't give Paul helicopter. They didn't give Paul magic. They didn't give Paul estates. It was his needs, his necessities. So he says, my God shall supply your needs according to his riches in glory. How do you think Paul was? How do you think God will supply their needs? By other saints abounding to the riches in glory by Christ Jesus in them. What did he call it in 2 Corinthians chapter 8? The riches of liberality. So the churches of Philippians gave to Paul. Paul yet gave an example of what? Walking in marketplace. Let's look at Jesus, your Lord, my Lord and Savior. Look at Luke 8. Look at Luke 8. We saw on Sunday that Jesus was a handyman. Yeah? Look at Luke 8. Look at Luke 8. Look at Luke 8. Look at Luke 8 verse 2. Luke 8 verse 2. Look at Luke chapter 8 verse 2. Luke chapter 8 verse 2. See what it says? It says, and certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils. Look at verse 3. And Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance. That word, their substance, means their material things. Yeah, Luke doesn't say that Jesus went to look for those who were rich to create a covenant partnership with them. No, he ministered to them and they what? Ministered unto him of their substance. No pressure. Yeah, look at 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11. So we see that they gave to Jesus. We saw in the book of Mark on Sunday that Jesus was a laborer, a handyman. So Paul, a laborer, a handyman, yet he was given by the saints he ministered to. Jesus, a laborer, a handyman, yet he was given by the people he ministered to. Luke 8. Look at 2 Corinthians 11, verse 9. See what it says. It says, and when I was present with you, this is the Corinthians, and I wanted, that means he had needs, I was chargeable to no man. Are we together? For that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. What did that be? It be the gift that Philippians sent through the hands of Epaphroditus. Philippians 4. Yeah, so, for that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. What does that mean? The brethren of Macedonia abounded to the riches of liberality. And in all things, I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. Look at 1 Thessalonians 2. You see, Paul says, in Acts chapter 20, Paul says, what? I have coveted no man's silver nor gold. 2 Corinthians 11, I was chargeable to no man. Look at 1 Thessalonians 2, 9. So, you see, if the saints can know their part and the pastors know their part, there will not be too much confusion. Yeah, look at 1 Timothy, 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 9. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we will not be chargeable unto you, we preached unto you the gospel of Christ. So, Paul preached the gospel of Christ day and night and labored night and day. Are we together? Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Yeah, look at Acts, you know, we saw that in Acts 20. So, Jesus speaks to ministers in Matthew 10. Look at Matthew 10 quickly. Let's see Matthew 10 before we continue in that line. Look at Matthew 10 verse 5 to 8. Look at Matthew 10 verse 5 to 8. These 12 disciples, or these 12, Jesus sent forth, and he commanded, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into the city of the Samaritans, enter ye not. Verse 6. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Verse 7. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Verse 8. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Why do you suppose that the apostle who was laying hands on people in Samaria, when Simon the sorcerer saw him, I wanted to sow a seed for him to lay hands on him, And in the book too, he says, your money perishes with you. Why? Because Jesus has said it. Freely you have received, freely give. Now, do you think Peter was among these people that Jesus gave him instruction? Yes, yes. But this same Peter who Jesus gave his instruction recognizes Paul. Look at 2 Peter 3:15. 2 Peter 3, verse 15. 2 Peter 3:15. Glory to God. 2 Peter 3:15. It says, an account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. That means take into account. Take into account that the long suffering, the patience of our Lord leads to salvation. Yet, even as our beloved brother, Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, had written unto you. Yet, so in the real sense, verse 16, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things. So Peter acknowledges that Paul is someone who you should read. Peter says what? As you have seen in all his epistles. How did Peter know that Paul wrote it in all his epistles? It means that Peter read Paul's epistles. So, Peter who read Paul's epistles, yeah, spoke about how Paul is someone to be recognized. But in the real sense, a lot of us read Paul without acknowledging what Paul said or what Paul did. We see an example of the same Paul who labored with his hands night and day. Yet he wrote something. But what do? A lot of us want to pick one side. What is the side we want to pick? Communicate to those that teach you. Let him that rule be counted worthy of the honor. Yeah? But we don't want to see the part that says what? Paul labored with his hands night and day. Are we together? Are we together? Look at 1 Timothy 6, the same Paul. Now, let's see that. So it means that in reading Paul's writing, you should be at peace because Peter has verified him already. Peter verified Paul. Jesus verified Peter. Did you get that? Yeah. Peter was the one who Jesus said in John 21, feed my sheep. This same Peter was one that says, an account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, as our beloved brother Paul has written in all his epistles. Are we together? Look at 1 Timothy 6, the same Paul. So it means that in paying attention to Peter, you must honor Paul. In honoring Paul, you honor Peter. Look at 1 Timothy 6, verse 5. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 5. See what it says? It says, perverse disputing of men, of corrupt minds, and deceit of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. What did Paul say? From such withdraw thyself. What did Peter say about what Paul said? Listen to what Paul is saying. Yeah? So, perverse disputing of men, of corrupt minds, and deceit of the truth, supposing, what does that mean? Teaching that gain is godliness. What does that mean? Teaching that the more you increase in wealth, it means that you are in God's will. No, it's not the proper teaching in scriptures. What did Paul say about those who teach that? Withdraw thyself. Withdraw thyself. Withdraw. So Paul is saying, when you see someone teaching that serving God will increase your wealth financially, yeah, is a perverse idea taught by men. What do you do? Withdraw yourself. What should we hear from the lips of a minister? Godliness with contentment is great gain. What was Paul's logo? Godliness with contentment is great gain. How do we know that? 1 Corinthians 4 shows us that even though he was hungry, he was thirsty, he continued laboring with his hands. Godliness with contentment, that is the real gain. Look at verse 7. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we cannot carry anything from the world. You think about it. So you see, a lot to say from there. Yeah? And look at what it says in verse 8. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Are we together? Having food and raiment, let us therefore be. So, why do you think Paul did not teach the Macedonians that they should sow seed, and the more they have more money, it means that God is answering them or God is with them? It is that what? Godliness with contentment is the gain itself. What does the man teach? What do men teach? Men teach that the more you are godly, the more you work for God. The more you are godly, the more you work for God, the more you increase financially. No, you can work for God all the days of your life and end up poor. Yet the evidence is put forth all around all of us. Yeah, you would have to act blind to say that you don't believe that. You would have to act blind. So Paul did not promise the godliness, that is the good activity of the Macedonians. He didn't promise them financial wealth, financial increase. Yeah, what did he say? He spoke about the grace of God despite their deep poverty. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? Yeah, so go back to chapter 5. That's same chapter 5 again. Okay, if I before I go to chapter 5, Look at verse 10 of chapter 6. 1 Timothy 6 verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil. The love of money is the root of all evil. Which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith. So, can you see that? In pursuing money and pursuing wealth, there's a tendency for you to leave the faith. Yeah? What does leave the faith really mean? Yeah? You start saying what God did not send you.
Yeah. So what did Paul say you should have in your mind? Godliness with contentment is great gain. Look how he says in verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted, they have erred from the faith, erred from the doctrine, and they pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Look at verse 11. Look at what Paul says to Timothy. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness with great gain is godliness with contentment is great gain. Faith, love, patience, meekness, find the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art in court, and I profess the good profession before many witnesses. Hallelujah. Look at chapter 5. Look at chapter 5, verse 17. Where we really are. Chapter 5, verse 17. Remember, over here, he says, let them elders, or let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. See what he now says in verse 18. For the scripture says, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his meat. See, what do you have there? Corn, ox, tread. Yeah, is he teaching agriculture? No. What is Paul trying to do? Paul is trying to explain what Moses was teaching. Yeah, where Paul is quoting from, he's quoting from, look at, he says in verse 18, for the scripture said, where is it found? In the writings of Moses. So Paul is not discussing corn meal. He's not discussing how to do business in agriculture with corn and ox. No. Treaded out the corn is actually a description of service of an elder. So when he says, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. The act of treading out the corn is a description of service of the elder. What did he say it in verse 17? Let the elder that rules well. What is ruling well in verse 18? Treading out the corn. So, ruling well is the service of the elder who ministers in word and doctrine. And together, what is the ox? The ox is not the animal. The ox will be the laborer, the minister. So, verse 17, let the elder that rules. Who will be the elder in verse 18? Figure of speech, the ox. What is the activity of the ox? Is treading out the corn. What is the activity of the elder? It is laboring in word and in doctrine. So, the reward is the care of the saints for the minister. Altogether, so in the reason, Paul is explaining what Moses wrote in his writings, in the first five books, explaining it in verse 18, using verse 17 to explain it. So, verse 18, let the ox that tread out the corn, it means that let the leader, that is the elder, who renders service in word and doctrine, be counted worthy of double honor. Yeah. So when he says that, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treaded out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. The laborer is worthy of his reward. What did Jesus say to the laborers, the ministers? When you go, freely have you received, freely give. So you must not be the one to charge for it. What is the saint to know? The saint is to know not to muzzle the ox that treaded out the corn. What is that? The laborer is worthy of his reward. So Paul is teaching about how the saint is to receive a minister. Look at 2 Thessalonians quickly. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 6. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which ye received from us. What is the tradition ye received from us? Look at verse 7. For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly amongst you. Verse 8. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught. What does it mean? What is he saying? The same thing in Acts 20. I have coveted no man's silver, gold, or apparel. What is he saying in 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 8? Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day. So Paul's reason for working is so that what? That they might not be chargeable to any of them. What is Paul saying? We labored night and day with our hand. What is the work he did? The work of tent making, so that they might not be chargeable to any of them. Look at verse 9. Not because the same Paul that's talking about the riches of liberty in the saints giving is the same Paul talking about why he labored with his hands. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow. So Paul's reason for working is an example in itself, so that he will not be chargeable to anyone. What did verse 10 now say? For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not walk, neither should he eat. Are we together? If anyone should not walk, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, walking not at all, but they are busybody. Yeah, what is he saying? He's saying that I labor with my hand. So it means that almost every time you find Paul is either preaching the gospel or laboring as a tent maker. Let's get that. Look, go at 1 Thessalonians 2:9. 1 Thessalonians 2:9. So he wrote it in 2 Thessalonians, wrote it in 1 Thessalonians 2:9. Look at 1 Thessalonians 2:9, the same thing. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, laboring night and day, because we will not be chargeable unto any of you. What does that mean? I have converted no man's silver. We preached unto you the gospel of God. Verse 10, ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblamingly we behaved ourselves amongst you that believe, as ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doeth to his children, that ye would walk worthy of God who had called you to the kingdom of his glory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we see that, so Paul wasn't burdensome, yeah? Paul wasn't a burden to the saints. Let me say it again. Paul wasn't a burden to the saints. Paul wasn't a burden to the saints. Paul had needs. He had necessities. Had limited by laboring. Look at 1 Corinthians 9:18. 1 Corinthians 9:18, quickly. 1 Corinthians 9:18. 1 Corinthians 9:18. See what it says. He says, what is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not the power of the gospel. I was together. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I may gain the more. Look at that again. Look at that again. What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach this gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge. So Paul, that is teaching that the saints should give, is he charging it? No, no, no. What did Paul know in his mind? He knows that he is to labor and freely give what he has freely received. What did the saints do? The saint is to know that he is to receive the word from a minister and communicate with him in all good things. Look at 2 Corinthians 11:7. 2 Corinthians 11:7. 2 Corinthians 11:7. See, look at 7. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself that ye might be exalted? Because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely, 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 freely. Look at what he now says in verse 8. Let's explain verse 8 quickly. I robbed other churches, dear saints. Did Paul go and steal from other churches? No. Rob there will be a figure of speech. We have already seen that how did Paul meet his need. Paul, okay, hold your hands in 2 Corinthians. Go to Ephesians 4:28. Look at Ephesians 4:28. Ephesians 4:28. This is Paul in the same Ephesians 4:28. What does Paul say? Look at what Paul says. Ephesians 4:28. He says what? Let him that stole steal no more. Let him that stole steal no more. But rather, let him labor. Let him that stole steal no more. But rather, let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needed. So Paul taught that those who steal should not steal again. What is the remedy to meet their needs? They should work with their hands. What is Paul now saying in 2 Corinthians? When he says, I robbed other churches, he will not mean that he stole now. If not, in Ephesians chapter 4, he would have said, let all of us that stole stop stealing. No, no, no. Look at 2 Corinthians again, verse 11, chapter 11. Verse 8. I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. We have seen that Paul labored with his hands. It will mean that the rob there will not be literal. It will be figurative. Paul wasn't a thief. Yeah? Paul wasn't a thief. So what was he saying? What? Now remember, before you read 2 Corinthians chapter 11, you must have read 2 Corinthians chapter 8, where we're speaking about the riches of the liberty that the Macedonians abounded unto and gave to his needs. You must have read. So if you read Philippians also, you see that what? The Philippians abounded to the riches of glory in them and gave to Paul's needs. So what was Paul really saying? He robbed the Macedonians who were in deep poverty to do service to the Corinthians who were better off financially. What does that mean? It simply means that Paul at this time, he's saying that he robbed other churches. It means that at the time when he was teaching the Corinth, it was other churches that were meeting his needs. You know, that's figure of speech. Yeah, the same thing you see in Jesus when he went to the temple and he cast out the dove sellers, money changers, and things like this. He says, you rob my house. So my house is called the house of prayer, not a den of robbers. Yeah, what is den of robbers? It means that they robbed the house of God, which is the house of prayer, from its purpose. What is the purpose? Prayer. What does that mean? Yeah, it's like replacing one with the other. Yeah, what is Paul teaching? I rob other churches, taking wages from them or of them, so that to do service to you. Yeah, that one there, which is actually what that actually means, maybe a ratio given in place of a pay or allowance or something given. Are we together? Yeah, remember, Paul had already taught in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, let the elders that rule, yeah, be counted worthy of double honor. Yeah, do not muzzle the ox that treaded out the corn. What is Paul saying? He's saying, I rob other churches. So Paul was talking of a scenario in which he received support from the Macedonians. He received partnership. Yeah, the Macedonians fulfilled Galatians 6:6. Yeah, let him that is taught in the word communicate, be in partnership with him that teacheth him, if of all good things. So what is the robbing there? It is that the Macedonians were in partnership with Paul, although Paul wasn't ministering to the Macedonians at the time. So I rob other churches, will be the churches of Macedonia, taking wages of them to do you service. Yeah, look at verse 9. And when I was present with you, I was chargeable to no man, for that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia. See, what is the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied? It means that the people of Macedonia met Paul's needs, even though he wasn't ministering to them at the time. So that's what it really means by rob other churches. Robbing other churches really means that what? The money, the people he was teaching at the time, the Corinth, yeah, who were ideally financially well off than the Macedonians, yeah, were not giving as much. That's why, you know, if you follow the series so long, you realize that we thought that Paul used the giving of the Corinth to teach the Macedonians, and the Macedonians outgave the Corinthians. So Paul was receiving gifts from the Macedonians. Look at it. He said, that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. Yeah, and in all things, I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you. So in the real sense, as being with Paul, look at verse 9, when I was present with you, at the time when Paul was present with them in Corinth, it means that what? The churches of Macedonia, they supplied part of his needs. In the real sense, he did not make himself burdensome unto the people he was teaching at the time. So I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. Verse 10, as the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me from boasting in the regions of Asia. Yeah, what did Jesus say? Go back to Matthew 10. Go to Matthew 10, verse 8. See, Jesus helps us to understand, you know, this book, this Matthew chapter 10, helps us to understand Jesus' teaching concerning ministers. He told them in verse 8, freely you have received, freely give. Verse 9, provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses. Verse 10, nor scribes for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staffs, for the workman is worthy of his meat. Is that the same thing as do not muzzle the ox that treaded out the corn? Same thing. Yeah, yeah. See, they were going for a journey. What was Jesus doing? Sending out disciples. What did he say in verse 7? Freely you have received, freely you will give. So a minister is to be one that is without charge. So a minister is to be one who is not to be burdensome to the saints. A minister is one who is supposed to feed the saint, that is the elder, that feeds the saint, supplies oversight to the saint, rules the saint well, that is providing care for the saint, and giving an example to the saints. Yeah, what did Paul say in 1 Timothy? You are to consider that one who labors over you in word and doctrine, counted worthy of double honor. What did Jesus say? See verse 10. Nor scribe for your journey, neither to go. Look at 11. And into whatever city or town ye shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till ye go there, my dear people of God. What did Paul do when he got to Corinth? He inquired of the house that be worthy, and what? He dwelt there. What house did he find? The house of Aquila and Priscilla. What are they doing? Tent making. What did Paul do? He attacked himself to their labor, and he wrought with his hand with them. Do you understand that? Now, the workman is worthy of his meat. That same workman is the same person he tells you are worthy of your meat, oh, yeah? But in the real sense, freely you have received, freely give. That means you don't charge for ministry. You don't charge for ministry. Freely you have received, freely you give. You don't charge for ministry. In whatsoever city, verse 11, or town you shall enter, inquire. What did Paul do? He got Acts 18. He got to he left Athens, got to Corinth, and he inquired and found Aquila, the Jewish man, and his wife Priscilla, and he joined them in tent making. So Paul knows his part. The disciples know their part. The ministers know their part, and the saints know their part. What is the saint to know? He is to communicate to him that teacheth him in all good things. What is the saint to know? That man which teacheth you, that laboreth in word and doctrine, is what? Worthy of double honor. So, Matthew 10.
Look at Matthew 10. Look at Matthew 10:28. Mark 10:28. I was reading Matthew. Hey, Mark 10. Mark chapter 10, verse 28. Look at Mark 10:28. Mark chapter 10, verse 28. So what it says there? It says, then Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all, and we have followed thee. Look at what Jesus said. Look at what Jesus says. And Jesus answered him and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that had left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or land for my sake, and the gospel, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time. So Jesus qualifies what he's saying with what? Now in this time. You see, in the real sense, the Peter lived, see, to teach that Peter abandoned his family would not be fair. Yeah, look at it again. Then Jesus answered and said unto him, there is no man that hath left his house. It doesn't mean that Peter abandoned his house, his brother and his sister and his father and his mother and his wife and his children and his land for my sake and the gospel. Look at this, verse 30. But he shall receive 100-fold in this time. Houses, bread. It's not saying because you serve God and follow God, you receive house. It is a context. Yeah, it is that when you live, you put priority on ministry. Yeah, in the real sense, remember, he has told you, do not take anything as you are going. So in the real sense, you would have brethren, you would have sister on your ministry, you will have sisters you will meet on your ministry journey. For instance, Paul left Athens going to Corinth. In the real sense, Paul left his house in, or left where he was staying, or if he had family in Athens, and went to Corinth. In the real sense, when Paul got to Corinth, he received house, he received brethren, he received sisters. Who were those things he received? Who were the people he received? Aquila, Priscilla, and others. Where is the house he received? Aquila's house. He lived with Aquila. Yeah, so in the recent, did Peter really leave everything? See Matthew 8. Look at Matthew 8. Matthew 8, verse 14. Look at Matthew 8, verse 14. Matthew 8, verse 14. Matthew chapter 8, verse 14. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, so Peter had a house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of fever. Yeah, so Peter had a wife, Peter had a mother-in-law. Peter had a house, Peter had a wife, Peter had a mother-in-law. Yeah, if Peter abandoned, it will mean that Peter was not supposed to go and carry Jesus or take Jesus into that house. Not together. Jesus went to Peter's house to pray. Jesus did not rebuke Peter for having house. Yeah? So, what does Peter mean by we have left all to follow? He's not saying he abandoned everything. What he's really saying is that what? He put priority. He took priority. He placed his priority and made his priorities right. All together. All together. You see, look at First Corinthians. First Corinthians chapter 7, verse 34. Look at what Paul says to the Corinthians. It says, 1 Corinthians 7, 34. It says, there's a difference between a wife and a virgin. Yeah? A wife and one who is not married. That's what he's saying. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in the body and the spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. What is Paul saying? Paul was making a difference, or stating a difference in the devotion between the married and the unmarried. What do we do today? What is Paul saying? When you are married, your consecration can be top-notch. Your conversation tends to be top-notch. Yeah, if you give yourself to it. But once you are married, yeah, look how he says. He says, you begin to care for the things of this world, how you may please your husband. What do we see in our day and that day? Those who are not married or those who are not single, instead of putting all their heart on caring on the things of God and the things that matter, they are focusing on the marriage they don't have yet. Yeah? Making it look like being unmarried is a curse. No, being unmarried is not a curse. Being married is not a blessing. Being unmarried is not a curse. Yeah, so when you see that scripture, he that finds a wife finds a good thing. Yeah, and obtaineth mercy or be favored from the Lord. No, it's not saying when you marry, you know, you are, that's when people follow you. Abba. No. Think, what is Proverbs really saying? Find a wife, it is a good thing, it's acceptable of God. It's not saying, there are some miracles in my life that are attached to a woman when I meet. See, that, you can't teach that from scriptures. Yeah, else, Jesus did not obtain favor from God. Paul did not obtain favor from God. So what is Paul saying? As a married person, you might share your devotion. Is he saying that when you are married, don't be devoted to God? No. Is he saying that when you are married and you are a Christian or you are still a Christian, you don't attend to your husband? No. He says that you may care for the things of this world, how that you may please your husband. What is he saying? Priorities before devotion. Look at verse 29. Priorities before devotion. Look at verse 29. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none. What is he saying? Priorities. See, he has already told you in verse 3. See, before you get to that verse, look at verse 3. Look at verse 3. Let's read verse 3 together. Look at verse 3. Look at verse 1. Let's start from verse 1. Now, concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Yeah. Nevertheless, to avoid, look at it. It is good for a man not to touch a woman. What is Paul teaching about? Yeah. Consecration to the things of God. Nevertheless, in your consecration to the things of God, there's a tendency for fornication. So he said, it is good for a man not to touch a woman in reference to commitment and devotion to the things of God. Nevertheless, to avoid, so the reason is to avoid communication, let every man and his own wife, not the one that God gives him, yeah? See, God is not in the business of sharing and matchmaking. No. You find a woman, you love the woman, you marry her, that's the end. Let's not teach that today. And let every woman have her own husband. So every man have his own. He's not saying that as a man, you have your own wife. As a, you that are the wife of that man, you have your own husband differently. No. Your man that you married is your husband. You are his wife. So let every man have his own wife and let every woman have his own husband. Look at verse 3. He says, let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence. Hallelujah. And likewise also the wife unto the husband. Hallelujah. What is due benevolence? Satisfaction in the place of the bed. Or on the bed, sorry. That is not a figure of speech. Yeah. Let the husband render unto his wife due benevolence. You see, benevolence is similar to generosity. Glory. And likewise also the wife unto the husband. Yeah, so it means that the husband should be benevolent towards the wife and the wife to the husband. See what it says in verse 4. The wife hath no power of our body. I hope you are hearing. The wife hath no power of our body, but the husband. And likewise also, I hope you are hearing also. Yeah, before you think I'm talking to only ladies. Yeah, the wife hath not power over her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath not power over his own body, but the wife. What does that mean? Oga wife, madam wife, oga husband, yeah, give due benevolence to your partners, yeah. So husband, so look at what he says in verse 5. Defraud ye not one another, except it be with consent for a time. What is he saying? As a husband and wife, you can give yourself to devotion. Yeah, look at it again. Defraud ye, that means do not allow benevolence to be lacking in your matrimonial home. Yeah, defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent. So it means that a man that wants to fast and the woman wants benevolence, yeah, they must not defraud themselves. Yeah, that ye may give yourselves, say, love, you are smiling today. Yeah, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, except with consent for a time. See, Paul says for a time, not always. Yeah, not one who lives on the mountain. Moment to a husband that's always living on the mountain, you are one who is disobeying verse 3. Yeah, you are not rendering due benevolence to your wife. If you are a woman always doing ministry work, yeah, you are not rendering due benevolence to your husband. Yeah, he says, you might give with a consent for a time that he may give yourselves to fasting and prayer. See what Paul now says, and come together again, amen. And come together again. Yeah, what is come together again? Giving yourselves due benevolence. Why? So that Satan tempt ye not for your inconsistency. So it means that due benevolence is supposed to be consistent. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yeah. So it says that. So it means that as a husband, as a couple, as a husband, wife, you can decide when to take out time to do ministry work, when to take out time to fast. But you must make sure that is priority in your home. That way, not talking verse 29, I'm talking verse 35. Yeah, spiritual activities must be priority. But even after that, then he said, come together again. Come together again. So it is spiritual activities first before benevolence on the bed. Yeah, so what is Paul teaching? There's a tendency for you when married, you want to care for your husband. You will now start putting care for your husband above what? Spiritual what? Reactivities. So, what did Peter mean by we have left all? He simply meant that he prioritized that which has to do with the gospel. Yeah, he put every other thing, no matter how legitimate they might be, to be secondary. Every other thing. Look at Mark 6. So, Peter's we have left all doesn't mean that what? He stopped walking. No. We'll see some examples in scriptures. Look at Mark 6 verse 3. He says, is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary? Yeah, you see, that word there, carpenter, you know, the Greek word just emphasizes a laborer, someone that is a stone builder, someone that is a handyman. So clearly you see that they were talking about Jesus as a handyman. What did they say? Is this not the carpenter that is a handyman? Yeah? the son of Mary, yeah, the brother of James, yeah, and Joseph, yeah, and of Judah, and of Simon. Yeah, can you see that? So Mary was not a virgin forever. Hello, hello, how are you? Yeah, so there's nothing like a virgin mother, virgin Mary mother of, no, it's, there's nothing like that in the Bible. It's a false thing, it's a false teaching. Yeah, Mary wasn't a, see, look at it. Mary gave birth to Jesus as a virgin. After that, Jesus had brothers. So it means that Mary wasn't a virgin forever. Yeah, so virgin mother, I'll be virgin Mary mother of Jesus, I'll be very virgin Jesus mother of Mary, anyhow you want to say it, anyhow you want to put it, really, it's not taught, it's not a scriptural teaching. Are we together? So Mary is no, Mary did not die a virgin. So I don't understand how you are dealing with her based on who she was before. Do you understand? It doesn't make any sense, really. Yeah, so who was Jesus? Jesus, look at, Jesus was a carpenter in verse 3, yeah. A laborer. In verse 3, look at verse 4. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. Verse 5. And he could dare do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk, and he healed them. So, Jesus was a rabbi, a teacher, a great healer, yet was a notable handyman. How do we know? They say, that's a rhetorical question. Is this not the carpenter? That means everybody knew. Everybody knew. Everybody knew he was into what? Jobs or things that had to do with the hand. Are we together? So Jesus was a rabbi, was a teacher, yet he was a healer, yet he was notable for what? Hand job. So his work did not hinder him from being a teacher. You see that? You see, Jesus did not say, because I have a lot of souls accountable to me, I need to take out time to study, I must not work and get any sort of income. The children must know that the ox that feeded, they must not muscle. No. Jesus also gives an example. You know, so for today's teaching, we've been able to see something very important, that the saints are to know their path, and pastors are to know their path. In the real sense, everyone should see the instruction that is for you and obey the instruction for you. It's been a pleasure to bring God's word your way today. I hope you've been able to learn one or two things. Until I come your way again, Jesus is glorified. Have a lovely night. I love you all. Cheers.